You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony the Big's dance is set. You excited?
Tony Kornheiser. Did someone say dance? Hit it, boys. Penguin dance. Here we go. Turn it to the right a little bit. Come back, slow it down. Speed it up again. The penguin dance, good for whatever ails you, kids. Whatever ails you.
I thought that dance was retired. Dance. I thought it was in Mothballs.
No. Yeah, I'm in Mothballs. I'm about to retire, but the dance
You're
is
not
always welcome on this show, don't you think?
Really?
I'm staying in the house. I'm just not being on the show. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Bears trade Justin Fields to the Steelers. Scottie Scheffler wins again, and Kyrie Irving beats the buzzer. But we begin today with the NCAA basketball tournament. The men's number one seeds are UConn, Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina. Three of those four lost over the weekend. None of them has fewer than three losses. North Carolina has seven losses. Wilbon, what are your biggest takeaways from the bracket?
Tony, I think that I was annoyed at a couple of things. Let's start with UConn, which is supposed to be the overall number one seed. And yet they they have the hardest road. Why is that? If somebody's your overall number one seed, can't you sit in that room and balance the field? Can't you do that? You're sequestered for days and weeks. What are we talking about here? And then there's some teams I think were snubbed, some schools. I'm not going to go crazy on this, but Indiana State and Pitt, I thought, belong in. I realize there's some teams like North Carolina State, which by, jumping up and surprising everybody and winning the ACC tournament in Washington, they got a bid that you weren't counting on, and I understand you got to take it off the board from somebody else. But I think that those shouldn't have been Pitt and Indiana State. And it just shouldn't be the case, Tony. So those two things annoy me, that you can't balance it with UConn. I would start there. I think the one seeds are legit, maybe. North Carolina, perhaps overly rewarded, perhaps. But we'll get to see about that.
Yeah, I mean, I love this show because I can honestly disagree with you about something. I'm not going to sit here and bleed for teams that didn't get in. You mentioned Pitt and you mentioned Indiana State. Other people are talking about
St. John's.
St. John's being in that situation.
Yeah.
Maybe other Big East teams are in that situation. Look, I feel very clearly about this. There are 68 teams in this thing. 68. You want to get in, win more games. The opportunity was there for you. I'm a little bit surprised that only three Big East teams are in, because the Big East over the last 25 or 30 years has won a lot of national championships, but my sense is that Georgetown and DePaul are just so dreadful that they dragged the rest of the thing down. I'm a little surprised the Mountain West got six teams in.
Mountain
West is
good.
Considering I can't name six Mountain West teams, I can't even name three Mountain West teams. I think the feel-good story is Duquesne. Duquesne hadn't been in 47 years. People don't even know where Duquesne is. They don't realize it's in Boston. That's a joke.
Oops.
It's in Pittsburgh. I understand that. I think though that UConn and Houston and Purdue were the top of the food chain the whole year, so I sort of expect the winner to maybe come from there. I understand North Carolina. North Carolina got the number one seed when they went into Cameron and beat Duke before the tournament
began.
But
then they
lost.
Tennessee, they lost to NC State.
I know, but so did Tennessee. And Tennessee and Arizona also lost,
yeah,
so they were the other.
They did.
They were the competition. Maybe you could say Iowa State, but I think Carolina is more glamorous than Iowa State. I do.
Are we rewarding glamour now? Huh?
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, come on. Glamour. Stop. Let's move
glamour
to the women's draw, where unbeaten South Carolina was named the overall number one seed. Joining the Gamecocks as one seeds are Iowa, Southern Cal, and Texas, which edged out Stanford. Defending champion LSU landed a three seed in the same region as Iowa, the team the Tigers beat for the title last season. Tony, I got big problems with the women's bracket. Do you have some of these same issues?
I don't know how many you've got. I've got one very clear issue here. I don't know how you can construct a bracket that would have Iowa and LSU in the same region and have to play a knockout game before the Final Four. I don't know how you can look at teams with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the two most popular, well-known, and accomplished players in the entire country, and put them in a position that one of them has to go out before the Final Four. To use a word that you love to use on this show, it's simply stupid. You're trying to grow your game. You want eyeballs on your game. At least if you get a South Carolina in the final, you could conceivably get either Iowa or LSU against them, and that would bring a lot of eyeballs to the set. I think some people might have quibbled a little bit with the fact that Texas is a number one, right, and Stanford isn't, but they're in the same region, so that's going to become a moot point at some point.
Tony, yes, to everything you said. I'm just looking at this. This alone gets me set off. UCLA's number a two seed in the same as Iowa, same bracket, part of the bracket as Iowa. LSU's a three in Kansas State, which I was already played twice and split games with, is a four. What are you doing? What are you doing? So basically, Tony, to me, and I know these are very smart people individually, but collectively, that room was plagued by dumb. That room has done everything it can to sabotage a product which has saved college basketball this year. Because the men's product was, let me use another word I use often on this show, the men's game this season was junk. That's what it was. Now, March may turn us around from that, and it may be the only thing we remember ultimately. The regular season of men's college basketball was nothing. The women were fabulous, and yet you have now pitted teams against each other as if you didn't know what you were doing. Yeah. Do you ever pick up a phone if you're in the room and say, hey, let me run something past you? This is unbelievably dumb that they can't look at their own work and say, wait a minute, let's go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I think I think Caitlin Clark is the biggest star. I think South Carolina is the biggest story. They're 103-3 in the last 3 years. I think I'd like to see them win. That's like UConn territory, 103-3. We move now to the resolution of Justin Fields and the Bears. The Bears traded Fields to Pittsburgh over the weekend, making clear their intention to draft a quarterback at number one. The Bears got a 6th-round pick for Fields that could move up to a 4th, depending on Fields' playing time. Wilbon, does it feel like your Bears got enough?
No, conditional 6 is not what you're looking for. And you're just not. I mean, from the time that there's talk about this, but Tony, a market sort of sets itself and the Bears alone can't mess with them. If you're talking about having 4 or 5 or more quarterbacks drafted in the first round or the first round and the first couple picks of the second round, then that changes the market for Justin Fields. Some teams may say, wait a minute, before I give up this, you know, I'll give up a 2nd or a 3rd, but I can draft my own quarterback. So you have some issues there. You have Kirk Cousins moving. You have some issues that directly affected the Bears and their ability to make a deal for Fields. And, I know, Tony, part of the big story in Chicago is the notion of doing right by Justin Fields. And some people may frown at that and say, wait a minute, you better do what's right for your team. A team has to look at the population of players who are looking at a team wondering how are they going to treat him. The Bears have to do business beyond this week and this month and this draft. And you want to have it out there that you think for other players around the league that the Bears will do right by you. They did right by Justin Fields to some degree. So some people that may not resonate with, I do understand it while I was hoping for more in the way of compensation. Yeah. Like, I don't know, a 3rd-round pick I was hoping for wasn't to be.
Yeah, I'm stunned. I'm stunned by this story. One, because Pittsburgh took him. Last week, Pittsburgh got Russell Wilson, so that stunned me. Two, because he fetched a 6th-round pick. I mean, he's been pretty good, and he started for 3 years in the league. Mac Jones started for 3 years in the league. He fetched a 6th-round pick, but he was clearly on the decline. Kenny Pickett got a 3rd-round pick. There was all this drama about Justin Fields, and there was no market. I think they waited way too long. I think they waited for too many free agents to move. I think they should have done it earlier. Now, I also don't get what Pittsburgh is doing. I mean, Russell Wilson, this seems to me to be a direct attack on Russell Wilson when you bring in Justin Fields. It seems to me that Pittsburgh is hedging its bets, saying, I don't know if Russell Wilson can actually be the guy. And it leads me to believe, as I've told you privately, that by the sixth game of the season, Fields may well be the starter there.
Let me mention this. The pick is conditional, so it could be a fourth. But Russell Wilson's a stopgap move. He's a bridge. Russell Wilson, if he has two good years left, Fields would still be 26 and can then play. I'm sure Mike Tomlin's looking. 60 people started a quarterback last year. Most people don't have Patrick Mahomes, and they need two. The Bears certainly started, two or three people at quarterback. You need more than one. And Russell Wilson isn't Russell Wilson from 2013. So if you can have...
I'm just surprised.
Tony, they paid nothing for him. They got a six-round and they paid Russ $1 million.
Nothing. They got them for free. I'm just surprised. I'm just surprised at it because of the proximity of acquiring one and then acquiring the other. Let's take a break. Coming up is Scottie Scheffler on his way to becoming a dominating golfer.
And what's the word for the shot that Kyrie hit to beat the Nuggets yesterday?
Are you sure they're going to draft Caleb Williams, or will they trade down one slot to Washington and draft the LSU kid? Are you sure it's Caleb Williams?
I'm not sure of anything. I, at this point, Chicago's expecting Caleb Williams.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Time to hear from the herd in mail time. Let me get the first one.
Mail
go
time.
To the glasses. What does winning the Players' Championship tell you about Scottie Scheffler?
A lot, including he was just physically and mentally tougher than, I don't know, than you can expect a person to be. Tony, the crook in his neck or whatever that was that had him barely able to take the club back on Friday. He couldn't even turn. He had to turn his whole upper body to see the ball. And it was amazing to watch him struggle through that, get through it, and then shoot 64 in the final round of the Players. And that putt doesn't tell me anything about Scottie Scheffler. I mean, it tells you about how a tournament can end and the frustration of it, and we've all been there, even weekend hackers. But Scottie Scheffler, Tone, he's the number one dude in the world. Until they can figure out a way to get him and John Rahm in more than like four tournaments a year, it's Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, so we're sort of aligned on this, sort of. What winning the Players tells me about Scottie Scheffler is that he is either the number one player in the world or he isn't, because John Rahm is, and we don't know at the moment. Okay, and we don't want this situation where the only time they play is four times a year.
No,
nobody wants that. This was a great leaderboard. This was a great tournament. Scottie Scheffler had a great Sunday, 8-under on Sunday, but I thought the absence of Rahm sort of loomed over it. It wasn't like Rory and Spieth, who weren't on the leaderboard because they weren't good enough at that point. He wasn't even in the tournament. Still, there was all the drama in the world, Mike. It comes down to the last two holes. You get Schauffele on 17 and you get Harmon and Clark on 18 with makeable putts to cause a playoff here. They were all close. Clark's was in. It did a 270.
It's in the hole.
It went three quarters of the way around and came out. It was a stunning ending, and I thought a very satisfying tournament, particularly for Scheffler. I agree with that part.
Who, by the way, won twice in a row. Nobody had done that at the Players. Won back-to-back. Scheffler has now.
And two in a row.
He's the guy going into the fat part of the season. He's the guy.
That's right. Here's what's next. What's the word you would use to describe Kyrie's shot that beat the Nuggets?
Historic. As in, you and I have been watching basketball, NBA basketball, for, you know, about 120 years. Tony, there's very few, if any. That's a left-handed hook shot from a right-handed guy who's 6'1", over a 7-foot guy moving to his left. And with rotation, and he watches it all the way in. It's not a prayer. Look, the shot I think is the greatest shot in history in my life is watching Magic Johnson's junior skyhook in Boston. You and I sat and watched that over Bird, Parrish, and McHale in their outstretched hands. But Magic 6'9". I know Bird, McHale, and Parrish are 6'9", 6'10", 7 feet. But Kyrie's 6 feet tall, a little over, 6'1". Historic, Tony. It's one of the 5 or 6 greatest shots I've ever seen, ever. Maybe 2.
Yeah, here comes another honest disagreement. The word I would use is left-handed. It was a wonderful shot. It deserves all the credit in the world. He used his offhand. You can't praise it enough, but here's the but. What it did was decide a regular season game with 14 games left to go in the schedule, right? So was it the junior skyhook? No, it was not. No. Was it Leitner? No, it was not. Was it Jordan over Elo? No, it was not. Was it Chris Jenkins? No. Was it Keith Smart? No. It wasn't even Kyrie making a shot to win the championship for Cleveland. It was a dramatic shot, but not a dramatic circumstance. That's what I'm saying.
The circumstance wasn't Tony,
that, right?
But the creativity, the level of art that this shot was, trumps Nothing. Even Kyrie's own shot to beat Golden State. It was art.
That won a championship.
Yeah, it did.
That won a championship. It's different. It's different. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Shohei starts to throw. Could he end up playing the field for the Dodgers? Wow.
And could Zion really have lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament? All you got to do is look at him. Just look at him.
You're the one who always says he's out all night eating. You say this all the time. He eats at every restaurant in New Orleans twice. How can he lose the weight?
All you got to do is ask the chefs of New Orleans. They'll back that up. That's called confidence.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 26th birthday, Emmanuel Class A. The Cleveland closer led the majors in saves the last two seasons. Class A had 44 saves last season and a 3.22 ERA. In 2022, he had 42 saves and a 1.36 ERA. By the end of this season, Class A could pass Cody Allen as the all-time franchise leader in saves. Allen had 149 saves, Class A, 110. Class A is regularly in high-leverage situations, as Cleveland led the American League in one-run games with 58. Class A, who has been an all-star the last two seasons, leads the AL in appearances over the last three seasons with 223 and posted a 1.97 ERA over that stretch. That's good.
So, Tony, apparently it's not just Trout and Ohtani whose brilliance is limited to the regular season. There are other people out there that get talked about and, you know, praised a lot less and deserve a lot more, and their season's in the 1st of October as well.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Jordan Poole. Around this day 6 years ago, the then Michigan freshman hit a catch-and-shoot three at the buzzer to give the Wolverines a one-point win over Houston in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Michigan made it all the way to the national final that year. Poole went on to the Warriors and performed well in the Warriors' title run, averaging 17 points, shooting 51% from the field, 39 from three. But that notorious confrontation in practice with Draymond Green led to Poole being exiled to Washington. A few weeks ago, Poole was taken out of the starting lineup and told to make something happen with the second unit. Washington is the worst team in basketball. Poole had 31 last night, and of course, the Wizards lost at home by 26.
Tony, I thought and still think that Poole, while there seemed to be issues like, you know, surrounding him, could help. When you can shoot like that, when you can score like he can and has done that for a championship team, it seems like you can help somebody. And somebody might want to say to the Wizards, listen, I'll give you some future considerations. I'll take Jordan Poole now, but that didn't happen before the deadline. Maybe it'll happen this summer.
Happy trails, Dan Monson. Last week, Long Beach State announced veteran basketball coach Monson would not be returning. Monson had coached the Beach for 17 seasons. This one was ending badly with five losses in a row, but Monson was allowed to coach the Beach in the Big West tournament. And guess what? They won. They're in the NCAAs for the first time since 2012. Monson may or may not be a lame duck coach right now. The Beach will play Arizona in the first round Thursday and is likely to lose. But Monson, who took Gonzaga to the round of eight 25 years ago, is thrilled to have one more game. He said, quote, there's nothing I'd rather do than coach in the NCAA tournament, unquote.
Tony, if I'm Monson, I tell Long Beach State to get lost. There got to be some other suitors. When you wind it up like this, and I don't know, we don't know what's going to happen in that one game, but we saw what happened. He was still able to inspire those kids to play for him in a completely impossible situation. So he ought to be chased. People ought to want his services.
He wants to keep coaching. It's a great story. I think Long Beach State should eat some crow and hire him back. One correction. Emmanuel Classe Wilbon made the playoffs with Cleveland in 2022. And one omission, former number two overall pick Chase Young signed with the Saints. That'll be his third team in about an hour and a half. We're running out of time. We go to the big finish. Brian Lindhorst says he has people telling him that Zion has lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament. Your thoughts?
Tony, we know this. I mean, if he can stay away from the great chefs of New Orleans, he's going to be better off. And if he's in shape, they're a problem. New Orleans, the Pelicans are. With Zion leading the way, the Dodgers say Shohei will soon start a throwing program that might allow him to play in the field this season. You excited about that?
I'm excited about everything he does. If he wants to model clothes, I'd be excited. Carlos Alcaraz and Iga Świątek won at Indian Wells. Are you impressed?
Indian Wells is a big deal. And you knew that, you know, it wasn't going to be Joker because he was walking around Staples or whatever they call that now for NBA games. Like, whoa! He's not an Indian Wells. Yes, because he lost early. Joey Votto homered on the first pitch he saw at Blue Jays spring training. Is that significant?
Yeah, he hit 202 last year. It is significant. Last one. Knicks and Warriors tonight. Who you got?
It's decidedly not a ball night as we get ready for a big ball week. That's a good one, Tone. Knicks are playing well. Warriors just come off a big win. A ball game, not a ball night.
Who you got? Who you got?
Warriors.
Out of time. Trying to better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.